All right, I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and joining us is Senator Shelley Moore Capito. Senator, thanks for being here. Really appreciate
it. Thanks, Scott. Happy to be here.
We went to social media to ask our audience what are the questions we should ask you.
Sure.
One of our audience members, Cassie Lee, asked this question, and I think it's a question you get a lot. Do you support adult use cannabis legislation? And if so, under what conditions? And there are some people who think that use of cannabis could help with the opioid epidemic. So what do you say to that?
Well, I've looked at this question on the medical marijuana issue. I have fewer issues with medical marijuana, although I don't think we've researched that enough to really know exactly what kind of benefits, but also what kind of impacts. But most states have moved in that direction, as West Virginia has on medical marijuana, and so I would accept that and be a supporter of that. On recreational use, I can't do it. I can't. I am opposed to it. Cassie is not going to be probably very happy with me, but I just feel like it's a gateway drug. I feel like folks in the addiction community, if you talk to them and say, and ask their opinions, they, for the most part, are opposed to it. It's just a step too far for me, and I'm not going there.
And do you think that it should be a federal issue? This is recreational marijuana, or a state issue?
I think it's probably going to – it should stay the state issue that it is. I think that you're seeing that, obviously, in Colorado and other states that have legalized recreational. And so I think the state ought to be the one that makes that decision. We'll just see where it goes.
All right, Cassie Lee, hope we answered your question. Another West Virginia Public Broadcasting Facebook friend, Dean Kern Shelley, asked this about the school employee pay in West Virginia. He says, I teach in Virginia, and my wife is in the arduous process of becoming an administrator in West Virginia. Why do I make $25,000 more than her? How can we retain our talent? I'd love to know what Senator Capito thinks about the teacher strike and if she supported that action.
I'm supportive of appreciating our teachers, paying our teachers, retaining our teachers as best we can. So I think what I saw unfolding was sort of a political exercise that was very successful. It was very well organized. I congratulate the teachers and their leadership on showing the passion behind something that, it's easy to say, oh, I want to support the teachers, and yes, they need to make more money, but for really putting the pedal to the metal and making sure the legislature and the governor actually came through with this. As a mother, I mean, my kids aren't in school anymore. Being out of school for a long period of time like that, I disagreed a little bit with the tactics of being out as long. But I think part of that, without throwing anybody under the bus, was what went forward was the only way to get the commensurate attention that the teachers needed. And so, I don't think it's going to be a yearly event. So I think they did a good job of getting their point across and getting what they wanted and needed and should have.
A related question is, where were you during the 1990 strike?
I was here in Kanawha County, and our kids were in school. And I remember it was some of the same issues that are very difficult. But, in my own family, I can tell you I have a family member who lives near Virginia and teaches in Virginia and makes probably $20,000 more. And that is an irritant, I think, to the local school systems. And are we losing some of our best teachers? I think that's a good question as well.
Well, you served, I think after the strike, you served in the West
right.
Virginia legislature.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that always the West Virginia legislature's issue, that we don't have as many resources as other states, and yet we still have to compete? We have to compete on low taxes. We have to compete on good salaries for our educators and our state employees. These are conflicting imperatives for a low-income state.
Right, and one of the issues always around the teachers is locality pay. And I think basically if things haven't changed, the teachers unions reject the concept of locality pay. But particularly if you're going into the Eastern Panhandle where a lot of this is occurring and the difference in salaries is so high, quite frankly, I think locality pay should be something the local school systems should be able to engage in to try to retain their talent.
One question was, what's your take on President Trump's proposed tariffs on steel and aluminum imports?
Well, I think President Trump is moving forward on a promise that he made in his campaign, and that's to protect American jobs. West Virginia, I'm from the northern part of the state, just south of Wheeling, obviously saw and have seen through the years just huge downturn in the steel industry and what that can do to a region and a community and families. And so I want to see us protect our steel industry. I think it's important for a lot of reasons, but security reasons as well. And so I support that he is moving in this direction in terms of putting us on a more even playing field for trade, particularly with something as critical as steel and aluminum. I am concerned and have heard concerns from small businesses here in the state about what this might do to their ability to purchase, their ability to buy. And also, is this going to create an entire trade war? I don't want that. I don't think that's good for West Virginia products. But I think, you know, generally supportive of what the president's moved forward with.
So, yeah, we have steel makers in the state, but we also have, you know, auto manufacturers and people who rely on steel to be able to make their products. If you have a say in it, what sort of advice would you be giving the Trump administration about what type of tariffs and targeted toward which countries?
Well, I think that's the key. What you saw originally, his original statement was just a full-out blanket, and then he pulled back when he signed his proclamation, and I think he exempted Canada and Mexico. Well, I think that was to a lot of relief. I mean, I can use Constellium in Ravenswood as an example. Massive employer there, big in our defense industry, uses aluminum, rolled aluminum to begin with their product, that they purchase some of it from Canada. So there was concerns there, and we heard those concerns. And the president must have as well, because he reined that in. I think he needs, you know, I think it's aimed at China. So why doesn't he just aim it at China? I think that's one of the questions. And particular products, I can say, even though for West Virginia, the ag exports are not a major driver of our economy, but a lot of people in the Senate and a lot of our United States, you know, we're feeding the world here. And the agriculture community is very worried about what impacts this will have on them. So I think he needs to narrow it down to particular products where it's so unfair and where we've been disadvantaged, and the countries that are engaged in that.
Just one more issue that is kind of fresh in people's minds. This week, a lot of students led a walkout for the Parkland shooting victims, and Jan Benders wants to know what you will do to forward gun safety.
Well, I think the remembrance that the students did in remembrance of the 17 victims in Florida is a good thing, because I think for students, for young people, I think they feel so far removed from what really happens. Sometimes they think, oh, it's never going to be me, or it doesn't touch me. And I think it's also a step to activism, getting engaged in the political system, which I think is good for whatever age you are, but particularly when you're younger, because I think younger people get sort of turned off by all the bloviating that people like me do. So in that manner, I think having the students become active is very, very good. On the issue of gun control and schools, we have two pieces of legislation that I think we don't have one solution that's going to solve this entire problem, because we know it's an enormous issue. But we do have the Save Our or Secure Our Schools bill that is a bipartisan bill that would help with resources for the school to keep the school safe physically, to help with more counselors, to help more coordination. The interesting thing about the Florida situation was, I think, when some people asked those students, we have a shooter in the school, they could almost tell you who it was. And to me, we should be able to empower our students to be able to be a part of this, I don't want to say surveillance, but of the crisis team to watch for this, because a lot of times they know better. So this bill will go to some of those kinds of things. It's a Orrin Hatch bill with Chris Murphy from Connecticut. The other one is the Fix NICS bill. It has 69 co-sponsors. That goes to the issue of the background checks and where we've already seen from the shooter in Texas and the one in South Carolina. They should not have been able to get a weapon. They were able to buy one legally. They should not have been able to be because their information was not uploaded into the system. We've got to have a system, if we're going to have any faith, that works and that has complete information. And those are the two bills that I'm supporting right now. But it's a big topic in D.C.
We've had other shootings and other efforts and pushes before. And it's been rare for anything to get through Congress at all. Do you think this time's different?
I do think this time's different. I do think just by the sheer numbers of the co-sponsors on these two pieces of legislation, one of which has been the Fixed NICS bill has been out there for a couple of years. I do think we'll have some success there.
You for several years now have been a leader in fighting the opioid epidemic and been talking about that in Congress. Of course, we've been dealing with this now for 20 plus years. What still needs to happen at the federal level to help West Virginians be able to fight this?
What I hear more than anything predominantly is we need money. We need the federal dollars to help us here in the state meet the challenge. So what does that mean? We did pass two significant pieces of legislation before President Obama left office. That's the 21st Century Cures Bill and the Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act, which deals with recovery, drug courts, the legal implications, the criminal justice system, a comprehensive look at meeting the challenge of this problem. One of the problems that I've had with the way the money's rolling out is our state has the highest mortality per 100,000 on overdoses. But the money is just flat formula as a population. We're more highly affected than a lot of other people's. New Hampshire, same thing. And so I'm working with the New Hampshire senators to try to focus the dollars in so that if you have the deeper problem, you get the deeper pockets because we have to have more of a solution. We're making some headway there, so that's good. I've worked with a lot of other members, and by the way, this is a nonpartisan issue. It's for us, it's more regional. Worked on stop bringing the drugs across the border, stop letting them come in through the U.S. Post Office. I've seen successful drug courts. I think we need to look at what evidence base is working and fund those problems. We went out and saw a medication-assisted treatment program. Some of those are controversial, but I think it has to be everything in the spectrum of solutions. And the last thing I would say is prevention. We went out to John Adams Middle School with the High-Intensity Drug Task Force folks and watched them give their presentation to really educate that age group on the dangers and the pitfalls of what happens if you become addicted. Personally, I think we should be doing that in the elementary schools. So I think where we've fallen short at the federal level is we were slow to pick it up. And also, we need to target it to the areas most affected, but we need to make sure that we're working with the programs that are working, and then put more money into it.
Your office is putting out this Share Your Story campaign. What's that about?
Well, you know, interestingly, I hear a lot of stories about how policies affect people, both their lives or their personal lives. And I'm particularly interested in how the tax reform bill is affecting people. And whether it's your business, whether it's your individual withholding, I've heard a lot of good things. Obviously, I supported it. So I'm interested in hearing from individuals their story related mostly to this, and then also solicit ideas. It's something I do all the time, but this is a more formalized way. Maybe we'll put some of them up, but it'll help me to understand and hear what people have to say.
So I assume that people can submit that on your website or
right.
through social media, that sort of thing?
Right. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, but I also have a website, www.capito.senate.gov, and you can find me there.
Senator, is there anything else I forgot to ask you about that you wanted to make sure got said?
No, I would just say thank you to West Virginia Public Broadcasting for everything you do. And I enjoy watching and I enjoy touring the studios today. So thank you.
All right. That is Shelley Mark Capito. She is one of our two senators from West Virginia. Thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it.